I'm Dr. Linda, and this is The Psychology Behind. Today, I thought I'd speak to you about what you should do if you feel angry at someone. Now, it's an interesting emotion, anger, isn't it? Because there's not many of us that enjoy confrontation, right? It's not a great place to be where you have to stand up and confront someone about something you feel unhappy with. But when our fear of rocking the boat or upsetting others actually gets in the way of our ability to express what we're really feeling, then there's potential for serious problems. And I think it's interesting because even as children, we're sort of socialized into feeling that anger sometimes isn't a legitimate emotion. But of course it is. It's just as legitimate as any other emotion. And there's study after study that suggests that burying it can actually lead to serious mental health issues. So what we need to be careful that we're doing is having sort of a sense of entitlement over our anger. Because by suppressing it, what we're doing is not only not solving the problem, but actually setting up a situation where that suppression can be linked to poor health outcomes for ourselves. So it's linked to things like heart disease and migraines. There's even studies that link it to cancer. So ultimately, someone who's afraid of being angry, in some ways, is actually afraid of expressing their needs. And the related fear of being rejected when they do manage to express their needs. So let's sort of stand on this point for a second. If you feel that you're not allowed to be angry, it's as if you're telling yourself that this need that I have to show someone that I feel let down, that I feel hurt, well, I can't express that. And the question then becomes, well, why can't you express that? And the answer often is, well, if I do, then that person's going to reject me. Then that person's going to see me as not being of value. They're going to think in a bad way about me. And so it actually comes down many times to self-esteem and self-confidence. The temptation of letting things go for fear of making a situation worse might be appealing, but the problem is that if you find yourself letting things go so often that you eventually forget how to actually express your anger or even stop feeling entitled to having anger. Now, that's not okay, because having a healthy sense of entitlement when it comes to managing a situation where you feel someone has wronged you or been unfair or unreasonable is really important. Both from an intrapersonal point of view, so that person and you are able to kind of develop a relationship where you're able to express each other's needs and either meet those needs or discuss them, but also internally for you, it's really important, because if you're kind of saying, my needs don't matter, that's going to wear away at your confidence, at your self-esteem, and potentially it's going to wear away at your own sense of well-being. It's vital to remember that the expression of anger or hurt doesn't always have to be scary. It doesn't even have to be negative. In fact, the process of learning how to resolve conflict and go through difficult situations effectively will impact not only your self-esteem, like we said, but potentially the relationships that you have, not just with that person, but going forward in life. So I kind of feel even for kids, it's a really important thing to, number one, feel entitled to anger, but number two, learn how to express it effectively. One of the things that makes expressing anger quite difficult is that we're socialized into believing that angry means bad, it means difficult. And I think this is especially true with women, you know, whereas I think boys, it's more socially acceptable through the sports that they play and through how loud they're allowed to be, that they, you know, that there's more space made for anger. Whereas for girls, I feel that kind of socialization still, you know, to this day is different. And I think because of that, the sense that we have that we're able to actually not only express something, but feel something becomes mitigated about being a good person, being liked, and that actually becomes a barrier to self-expression. I think, of course, the other thing that can complicate it are the power struggles that we have, right? So if I'm angry at someone, but I see that someone as being more powerful, either in terms of their job or in terms of, you know, them being perhaps older than me or someone that I respect, then all of a sudden, I feel that I can't speak about how I feel. And we kind of think about a lot that's gone on this year around the Me Too campaign. You know, people are often talking about, well, how could they do that? And, you know, why would they go along with that? Well, you know, if you feel that someone is more powerful than you, if you feel that you're not entitled to your emotions, then you are much more likely to go along with things that you don't agree with, that don't feel comfortable, just because you don't want to rock the boat. And I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want that to happen to anyone. So this podcast today is about understanding that anger is just as valid an emotion as anything else out there, and that being able to navigate your way through it is actually good for you and good for the person that that anger is directed at, potentially, because that's the only way to restore a relationship that's worth restoring. So I have 5 ways that you can deal with this, so stick around and I'll tell you what they are. Number 1, avoid expressing your anger passively. This will get you nowhere. If you keep your anger hidden or express it indirectly, the problem, whatever it is, simply won't get resolved and it will keep festering. Expressing why you feel angry calmly and clearly means the issue can actually, it'll be discussed and therefore it'll be resolved and you can move on. And by doing this, what you're going to do is you're going to give your self-esteem a boost, because ultimately by being authentic about your feelings rather than repressing them means that they, your feelings, and in turn you as an individual matter. So don't do that thing where you just slam doors or say nothing's wrong. Actually, find the words to articulate why you're upset and be able to relay that on. Secondly, change the way that you think about anger. Now, in my experience, one of the biggest barriers to people expressing their anger is that they fear that they're going to be seen as aggressive or rude or obnoxious. So it's important to change the way that you think about anger and see the benefits of it. Think of anger as, you know, as a valid emotion that you can constructively have, so you can gain a better understanding of the person that you're speaking with at the time. See it as a motivator that'll help you address and resolve those issues that you're having with the other person. And more importantly, see your ability to feel and talk about your anger as a means to having less conflict in the future. If you're not going to address it, it's not going to change. So addressing it means that this fear that you have of conflict is less likely to happen. Thirdly, use I statements. Now, what I mean by this is owning what you say. And this is so important in arguments. One of the hardest things to hear is these platitudes about, you know, what you have done and how you have acted. People will switch off. So it's important to remember that you are arguing your perspective, your truth, your understanding of the situation, and the other person will inevitably have a different point of view. By using I statements, you're doing 2 things. First of all, you're making it clear that this is how you feel and that you need to be acknowledged. And secondly, you're also acknowledging that even though you feel this way, clearly you understand that the person in the argument may have a different point of view altogether, and you're willing to discuss this. This will mean that they're going to be much less likely to become defensive or to become aggressive. You're actually asking for the other person to hear and respond to your experience of a situation, and you're implying that you will afford them the same courtesy so that you can get to a better place of understanding. Number 4, focus on the problem rather than the person. Now, defending your position by attacking the other person will put them on the defensive. And this will trap you in this negative cycle that won't allow you to resolve anything, because you're going to attack them, they're going to attack you, it's going to become personal, so you're going to have all these emotions flying around, you're going to be thinking through those emotions, and it's going to become a great big mess because you're losing focus. Instead, focus on how the actions that they did affected you rather than focusing on how badly they acted. Say, for example, when you said that you didn't like my cooking, I felt bad because I felt that you disrespected how long it had taken me to do something, rather than saying, you know, you're a lazy person that lies about and does absolutely nothing and has no respect for what, you know, the other person does. As soon as it becomes about the other person, what you're going to get is you're going to get that very defensive response back that takes you away from the point. So I know that when you're having the argument, it can become heated, you can become anxious, you can become worried, but it's really important to stay focused on what the issue is and how it affected you. And again, this becomes something that the other person can't negate, because you're saying, from my point of view, this is how I felt. Finally, make it a conversation, not a monologue. Remember, the whole point of an argument is not to hurt the other person or to win the argument, but it's actually to get to a better place of understanding each other. And while it's important to acknowledge anger and hurt feelings, simply letting off steam or using the other person as the object of your anger is really not going to be constructive. Instead, once you've identified what the problem is, try and move towards discussing a solution together and ensuring that you both feel listened to. This is something I use a lot when I see couples in therapy. And one of the things I talk about is taking the problem from between you and kind of placing it in front of you and looking at it together. So it becomes an exercise in problem solving rather than hurting each other. And it's amazing how powerful that can be. All of a sudden, you feel not just in control of your anger, but you stop fearing it, and it becomes a tool that you can use to get a better place of understanding and connecting with the person that's on the other side of the argument. So those are my 5 tips. I really hope they helped you guys, and I hope you feel not only entitled to your anger, but you feel able to make it work for you in your relationships and personally too. The Psychology Behind was produced in conjunction with Audio Boom. I really hope you liked listening to it. And if you have, just please make sure to subscribe to the series on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, so you don't miss out on new episodes. And if you can, always love to hear from you. So rate and review the series while you're there too. Look forward to speaking to you next week.